Love the part says, I know him by name. I know my peace speaker by name. That's an awesome thing. So many don't know him by name. They don't know how where their peace even comes from. Like Melissa, they search trying to find it when it's all along in that relationship with him. And it's a peace that passes our own understanding. It truly is a peace that in the middle of our storm, we can still have peace because of who's in us. We don't make sense. We shouldn't have peace, but we do because he's in us. And that's something you can't buy with all the money in the world, is that peace. Well, glad to see you back on this Sunday evening. I know it's cold. It's going to get a lot colder the next few days. So I'm sure there'll be some more school delays this week. Just throwing our schedule all off whack. But that's just how it is. I saw a forecast today that's calling on possible snow below us and to the east of us this time. So either we miss it from the mountains or we miss it. The coast gets to the mountains, get it, and we always miss it. But I saw it's going to come up under Georgia, part of South Carolina, and up toward Raleigh. So I don't know. We'll see. But I think we'll go escape it again. I don't understand that. It don't make sense. I want some snow. I've had a Jeep 2 years and can't drive. I want some snow. I know Larry likes snow. Kind of hard chasing criminals in the snow, ain't it? As you can see on the screen, we'll talk about I'm in the family. Isn't that good news? Depends on what family you're in, right? Yeah. We all got those crazy uncles, right? Cuckoo cousins. That, you know, are you related to so-and-so? Mm-mm. Yeah, we have those. But we're part of God's family as Christians. And that's what I want to talk about. We talked this morning about we're just passing through to an inheritance that's waiting on us. So I want to kind of piggyback off that again tonight and talk about we're in the family and read a little bit more about why we're in the family. If you'll be turning to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to be reading our scripture there tonight. Ephesians 2. We'll only be there tonight. It's the only place we're going to be at. And this is actually out of the Amplified, so it will not match your King James, or if you have another version, it won't match it exactly. So you may want to just follow the screen and then read yours, you know, a little later, because it breaks it down a lot more with the Amplified. But I am in the family. And the good thing about being in the family is they've got your back, and that you have a right to whatever the family has. Let's use this for an example. I've used it before. We go to Grandma's house for Thanksgiving dinner, okay? Bruce comes with us because he just loves Grandma, all right? We're at the dinner table. The biscuit bowl's getting pretty low. Comes down to one biscuit left. Am I getting that biscuit or is Bruce getting that biscuit? Larry ain't there. Well, he may be there later. Bruce tried to take my biscuit. Be a fork up in his hand. See? I think that's called a simple salt or something. But anyway, I am going to get that biscuit. Bruce, I love you. But you know what, brother? You ain't part of family. Now, I don't care what Grandma says. You are not from the loins of this family. You are not blood. We love you. We love to hear you sing. You can come play guitar and sing. And as long as there's plenty of biscuits, you can have some. But it comes down to the last one, it's mine. Because I'm in the family. And it goes to me. Now, we see a lot of this when people pass away, don't we, or die. We see a lot of this stuff happening with kids or siblings or stepkids or half-brothers. Or all this stuff begins to happen. Well, I'm the blood daughter. Well, I'm the son. Well, I'm the firstborn. Well, you're just a stepchild. Or you're just a half-brother. I'm the full-blooded thing. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Because I'm part of the family. Well, the good thing with God is we're part of his family. And each one of us that are part of God's family have an equal share in the inheritance he has waiting on us. And we are bought into this family and brought into this family because Jesus created the family with his sacrifice on Calvary. He is the one that created the opportunity for me to be a part of his family, which means I have a right to all he has waiting on me, all he has for me now. I am part of his family. He is my king. He is my father. He is my Lord. And all that he has within himself, I'm able to be a part of because I've been blood bought. I'm not an outsider, but I'm an insider inside his kingdom. So we're going to talk about it tonight, that I am part of the family. Now here's the Amplified. Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 11. We're going to read through 19. Therefore, remember that at one time you were Gentiles, heathens in the flesh, called uncircumcision by those who call themselves circumcision, itself a mere mark in the flesh made by human hands. Now, this is, let me give you a little history here. The Jews thought they were the only ones that were God's people. And the Jews, as you know, on the eighth day that a male child was born, they were circumcised as a token and an act that they were God's seed. And so anyone that wasn't under that rule or law, they called them the uncircumcised heathens. You're not part of God's family. You're not part of God's covenant. You don't belong with us. We don't even have to associate with you. We're special. We're higher. We're better because we're God's people. So that's what it's opening up with. Man trying to establish who's worthy and who's not. Remember that you were at that time separated, living apart from Christ, excluded from all part in Him, utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation, and strangers with no share in the sacred compacts of the Messianic promise. You had no part, they're saying. You had no share. You had no part of the inheritance. You were on the outside looking in. But He's building up towards what He did for us. This is where grace comes to light. With no knowledge of or right in God's agreement, His covenant. And you had no hope and no promise. You were in the world without God. That's pretty, if that don't send some cold chills, I'm with no hope, apart from God. That's how it was in the beginning, before the blood was shed, to make all of us part of His family. It's kind of like someone that you may welcome into your home or into your family. They're not blood, they're not related, they're outside. But then the moment you open the front door and say, come on in. But I don't, yes you do. You belong with us. You now become part of our family. This is what Jesus did for us at Calvary. He opened the door, the front door, and says, come on in. Doesn't matter if you were born a Jew. Doesn't matter what nation you're from, what color your skin is, what language you speak, what culture you're raised in. It doesn't matter. I'm about to open the front door and ask each of you that want to be part of my family to be part of my family. Whoever wants to be that. We have that opportunity because of what Jesus did. And in that family unit, church, is strength. In that family unit is unity. In that family unit is one mind and one accord, because no matter how much, I'm an only child, so I can't speak on this. I'll use an example. My grandmother has four daughters. So no matter how much those daughters may fight or snap at each other or maybe be cold or maybe not speak for a couple of days or get their, they get worked up, whatever. They might disagree and whatever. Might raise their voice and slam the phone down. Let something happen or somebody else try to do that and see what happens. Let somebody else slam the phone on Angela besides my mother. That didn't happen. I'm just saying. That didn't happen, right? Okay. Slam the phone. Mom's cat claws would come out and say, you don't mess with my sister. Yeah, but you talk about her all the time. But I can. She's my family. And I love her. And nobody else can talk about her. No matter how mad you get, no matter how out they are with each other, they're still that bond because of blood, because they're one family. And when the chips are down, now I know families are different now. There's very dysfunctional families, and there's families that don't speak to each other, but I'm talking about in a normal, loving family. No matter how out you are with each other, when the chips are down, you come back together. And you say, we're family. And nobody messes with my dad, my mom, whatever. I believe my kids would fight for me. As much as my son does not like me being a preacher, I think that if someone was attacking me as being a preacher, he'd be the first to stand up and say, look, you leave my dad alone. You leave him alone. He's done nothing to you. He's a good preacher. He's there for you. I bet you he would say something like that. Because when the chips are down, you rise to the occasion and you stand up for your family. And you're there for them. Jesus stood up for us and says, I want my family to be a little bit bigger. I'm opening up the floodgate, and I'm allowing anyone that calls upon my name to become part of this great family in heaven. No matter how you were born, how you were raised, or what you look like, you are part of my family, and I accept you as you are, and I'll take you in, and I'll love you as much as I loved Abraham and Daniel and Isaac and Jonah and Samuel. I'll love you just as much. Because the Bible says that we are the seed of Abraham, and that as it was accounted unto Abraham for righteousness, so it is for us too. So this means we have all the same blessings and all the same benefits. You know, the Jews still practice that. Real practicing Jews still practice those feasts and those covenant blessings, you know, and still walk in that attitude of, I'm God's chosen people. They still honor that. Well, guess what? We can too. Us Gentile heathens can do the same thing and say, I wear a crown of righteousness just like you because Jesus invited me into his family. And I'm now part of his big kingdom. And whether you like it or not, Mr. Jew, Mr. Israelite, Mr. whoever, we're brothers and we're sisters in Christ. And we're one family. You may not like the way I look or believe what I believe, but we are one family. If you believe in Jesus and I believe in Jesus, we are one family. It's time to celebrate and come together and recognize that we share, all of us, in the inheritance God has waiting on us. To know you're part of a family, especially God's family, there are people seeking that connection with family. It's the first thing God created was family. When he created man, he said, he put a man and woman together for a relationship. Then he said, be fruitful and multiply the earth. They wanted children. He established family in the earth. It's important. And there are people that are seeking for families. There are lonely people seeking for a husband or a wife or just somebody that will take them in, adopt them, just somebody. There are thousands of children in this nation that are waiting for adoption all across our nation. Orphan homes that mamas and have given them up, and the door knocks and they line the kids up and they say, I want to see so-and-so. And they're sitting there and they put their best face on. And am I going home with somebody today? Is somebody going to take me home today? Is somebody going to love me today? We're in that world. And to know that we have the love of God, that God lined us up and passed our way and called our name and says, I'm inviting you and you and you to be part of my family. Welcome to the banquet table. It's been prepared and spread and the seats are available. Will you come? Just like the story I love of where Jesus gave the story of, you know, to go out, and he had a wedding party and said, go out and invite all that you can. Invite, and people wouldn't come. The table was prepared. The seats were available. The party was paid for. Food was arriving, but nobody was coming. He says, go out and get them. They had to go out and get other ones that weren't supposed to be there. He says, the ones I'm inviting aren't coming, so I'll get some more that will come. The table is set. The banquet is paid for. The kingdom is established. The family unit's put together. And God is saying, will you be a part of my family and share in this great inheritance of never dying, never growing old, never being sick, living forevermore, worship me, praising me, fellowshipping, reunited with those as went on? Will you be a part of that family? It's the greatest family possible. It's the family of God. That's the greatest family from all walks of life. We are going to be together, church, one day, all of us, apart from the things of this world, in that eternal glory. One unit serving and worshiping the same God. And there will be no zero division about that. There'll be no, well, I believe in a different God. No, we're going to be together worshiping the same creator of all heaven and all earth. The one Lord, the one King. Every knee is going to be bowed to the same King and the same Lord. Every mouth is going to confess the same thing. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. In whatever language, every tongue, every knee will be bowed worshiping the same throne all across eternity because we are one family in God. And that is exciting to know that each of us have a part of that inheritance and each of us have a part of that walk as part of God's family. Better than any family possible. We have been adopted, grafted in, if you will, by the blood of Jesus. We'll get to that as we read these scriptures. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were so far away through by in the blood of Christ has been brought near. We were far away, but by the blood, we've now been brought near. What the Bible is telling us is we weren't part of that covenant. We weren't in that place. We weren't positioned in that time. But because of what Jesus did and shedding his blood, what used to keep you out of the family now makes you part of the family. What once kept you out, that law, now grace has stepped in and says no more law and no more walls. You now can be part of my family. It doesn't matter where you come from. You too can share in this great inheritance. For he is himself, talking about Jesus, our peace, our bond of unity and harmony. He has made us both Jew and Gentile one body. He has made all humanity. We are one marching army for God. One body. Though we look different, we act different, we talk different, we was raised different, we have become in Jesus one unit and one body. A good example would be a military unit. Different men and women from all over the world. Different backgrounds, different personalities, different heights, different weights, different looks. But you know what? And I know David can attest to this because he's been there and done that. When you're on the battlefield and you're in the middle of a war zone, it don't matter how they look or what language they talk in or how they're dressed or what color their skin is. All you know is that's my brother and comrade and he's got my back. We're one unit marching these streets of Afghanistan. We're all one unit with one purpose and one goal in mind. And we have come together. We're a family right here. This is my family for the next year, right here in this desert or where the mountains or wherever. This is my family. And though I disagree, I know when the chips are down, they're taking care of me. I know the chips are down, they'll shoot somebody for me. When the chips are down, they will surround me and maybe even throw themselves in front of me. When the chips are down, they're going to protect me and got my back because we're one unit and we're one family. That's how God's family is. And as Christians, we're going to all believe a little bit different. You know, I've had so many people through the years, every minister does, every church does, you know, leave a church because of just minor disagreement details, minor. Well, you don't really believe that. Look, I believe in Jesus and the blood. I believe that the only way to heaven is through him. Isn't that the main thing? And the old saying, keep the main thing the main thing. All of us aren't going to agree on every detail. I mean, some folks still believe the devil actually has a pitchfork and a pointy ears and a tail. People still believe that. That's fine. Don't mean we can't be brothers and sisters. You believe the devil's got a pitchfork? That's fine. Whatever. Each of us believe our own way, and we believe things differently. You know, people still believe. Now, I don't believe this, of course, and most of you I don't think believe this. If you do, I don't mean to shoot down your thing and don't get mad. But, you know, people still believe, literally, that Eve ate a red, delicious apple. I mean, she crunched into a brushy mountain apple in Taylorsville, and that's what caused her to sin. Church, it wasn't an apple. Don't even say apple in the Bible. It wasn't an apple. It was sin. It was sin. She ate and partook of the fruit of sin is what happened. But if you want to believe it's an apple, it don't matter. It's the same effect. We're in sin. We're fallen. Whether it's an apple, banana, a coconut on Gilligan's Island, it don't matter. It was sin. And so, however you see that, we can agree on this, that there was a fall of man away from, there was a fall of mankind. And Eve sinned. Whether it was eating an apple, a box of Cracker Jacks, you know, whatever it was, sin. So we can't let little details divide the family. We can't let little things that don't go our way, because church, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know a lot of stuff. I mean, there's stuff in the Bible I hear preachers talk about and minister to. I'm like, how do they know that? Oh, my gosh. That is good stuff, if it's true. You always wonder, how do they know that? Wow, that's deep. I mean, that is, you know, that's deep. I'm just not that deep. What you get is what you see with me. I'm just not that deep. But do what? Oh, well, thank you, Grandma. Leave it to my family to point that out. But we see that there's little disagreements that can divide, but as Christians, I mean, you know, there's Christians that are so divided against Christians because of just certain little things. I mean, it just, to me, that there's so many things that just don't matter. You know, I mean, there's some folks that get so freaked out about, you know, speaking in tongues or laying hands on somebody. I mean, they just get the eebie-jeebies on that. You know what? It is scriptural. It's in the Bible. And guess what? If it's not your thing, that's fine. But your thing should be the same thing my thing is. Jesus is Lord, period. He's Lord, and he is got a kingdom waiting on us, and we will be part of his kingdom one day because he is going to establish it, and we are all going to be there. That's what we can agree on. So here's the family of God. And this happened back in Paul's day because there was all these divisions. He told the people, he says, why do you care who baptized you? Why do you care if it was Apollos that baptized you, if it was Stephen? Who cares who baptized you? Who cares what church you go to? Who cares this? Who cares this? Aren't we all one in Christ? And that's what we got to get back to, that we're one in Christ, no matter what it is. Now, yes, I know, church, there are churches I could go to, I'd fall asleep, like y'all were doing tonight. There are churches I could fall asleep in. I mean, there's a church you walk into, it's like, oh my gosh, if it's any more boring, I would be dead. I understand that. And there are maybe certain things in certain churches or certain things, the way they flow, you're like, well, I don't really do that, I don't do that. But listen to the message. Just dig a little bit deeper. Do they confess Jesus as Lord? If they confess Jesus as Lord, they are part of our family, no matter what. And the church is divided really bad. All the denominations come forth from, you know, the Pentecostal to the Baptist, to the Presbyterian, to the Methodist, to the Catholic, to the Lutheran, to the, you know, Episcopal, to all these different branches and everybody. But you know what? If we confess Jesus as Lord, we are part of the same family. You may not shout like the Pentecostal. And you may not sing like the Southern Baptist. And you may not have the services of the Presbyterian. I don't wear a robe and a collar. I don't put on a suit. I mean, you know, a preacher suit. I mean, a regular suit, not a preacher suit, like some do. But it doesn't make them wrong and me right, or me right and them wrong. We're one family if we have believed in Jesus. The Samaritan woman at the well, who was a sinful woman, the Bible talks about her being a sinful woman, was getting water, and Jesus came to her and says, do you give me some water? I have nothing to draw it out of, so I'm not talking about that kind of water. I've got water to give you that'll change your life. Do you want it? You know what he was doing? He was adding to his family. He was taking this Gentile, Samaritan, ungodly, sinful woman who had been with man after man after man, the Bible says, and he offered her something. He offered her to be part of his family. Didn't look like what Jesus' family should look like by the Pharisees' accounts. He shouldn't even be talking to her. She was a Samaritan woman. Why was Jesus even talking to her? He was asking her, do you want to be part of my family? Because what I had to give you, it'll satisfy. And you won't need all that junk you're going through now. You'll just have me, and that's all you need. Jesus went to sinners. We read that all through the Bible, how he went from sinner to sinner, to sinners' homes. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, he called out of a tree and said, I'm going to come to your house today. Samaritan woman, he came to. He went and to everyone's house that asked him. He showed up and he appeared. And he healed. He raised the dead. He opened the blinded eyes. Everybody that needed a need from Jesus, no matter how they looked or how they lived, he took care of them. Because he was establishing his kingdom, saying the borders are coming off and everyone is welcome in my home. Everyone is welcome in my house. He himself is our peace, our bond, our unity. He has made us both Jew and Gentile one body and has broken down and destroyed and abolished the hostile dividing wall between us by abolishing in his own crucified flesh the enmity caused by the law with its decrees and ordinances, which he annulled. Jenny, aren't you glad he annulled the law? She was making a point to me last week. She went by, I told y'all last week, if you got a computer, Google Jewish law. It's 513 laws that they normally come to terms with. And Jenny says she got through a couple hundred of them and like, wow, that's enough. Yeah, I'd have been gone. I'd have been lost. He annulled. It means he fulfilled. It means he deactivated the power of that law. That law no longer has the power to determine saving or losing, salvation or lost, heaven or hell. The law has lost its power to declare that, because in the body of Jesus, he absorbed all of that law because he kept the law. See, the only way the law could be fulfilled and the only way the law could lose the power for salvation was if there was somebody perfect enough and good enough to keep it. That was the deal. Somebody had to keep it. And Jesus did. In his own body, he took on all of our wrath and sin. The Bible says that he became sin who knew no sin. Now, Jesus became the sin sacrifice for us, but he was not a sinner. Jesus never sinned, but he became that sin. It's a big difference. It's kind of like if you're in a courtroom. You didn't commit the crime. You're innocent. But you jump up and tell the judge right before he sentences the criminal, look, he didn't do it. I confess. I did it. I'm innocent. I didn't do that crime. I'm completely innocent of that crime. But I took that crime upon me that man could go free. That's what Jesus did. He wasn't a sinner. But that sin of our sin came upon him. And he became our sin. The Bible goes on to say that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Him who knew no sin became that sin that I could be righteous apart from the law and apart from works. Only through him am I righteous. He annulled that he from the two might create in himself the one new man. One new quality of humanity out of the two, so making peace. And he designed to reconcile to God both Jew and Gentile united. That's us. You know the old love song from the 70s. Reunited and it feels so good. I guess it's the 70s, probably. Yeah. We have been reunited in one body by means of his cross, thereby killing the mutual enemy. That's what that means. And bringing the feud to an end. The feud. We know what feuds are. Both of you around the South or the mountains. We know what feuds are. You know, shooting people and stuff for just because they've always done it. Remember the Andy Griffith episode where they had to feud them two guys up in the country? And Andy went and tried to talk to them. So why are you shooting at them? Because shooting at me. Why shooting at you? Because I'm shooting at him. Okay. Well, why are y'all shooting at each other? Because we've always done that. And he goes back and talks to the other one and says, why? And he goes and talks to the guy, why are you shooting at him? Because he's shooting at me. And he's like, oh my gosh, okay, what's the purpose? Why are you shooting to begin with? Why are you feuding? Why are you feuding? There's no reason to feud. Of course, they end up, I love how Andy did it. You know, he backed them up back to back, take a few steps, turn around firing. Huh? They're big chickens. They didn't really want to feud. They stood behind a rock or a tree and fired a wild shot. Andy fired that gun in the air. They took off like two chickens running across them woods. The feud was over. It ended. This feud between Satan and God ended at the cross. The feud between our soul being lost or saved ended at the cross. The feud between us keeping the law or being saved by grace ended at the cross. The feud that kept us bound and separated, the wall that stood before us. And church, the wall was the law. The Bible in 1 Corinthians say that the strength of the law is sin. In other words, our continual sin keeps the law alive because we can't fulfill it. And that was the wall that always kept us out. Can't get around that law. Just can't get around that law. Just can't get around it. No matter how bad we want to, can't get around the law. It always is there reminding me how short I've come, how bad I am. And it kept us from touching God the way he wanted. It kept us out of the intimacy of family. But when that wall was torn down, Jesus taking all of that upon himself, the middle wall of partition, the Bible says, was torn down, and now access was gained back to God with us. Nothing else standing there in the way. The law had been fulfilled. Works didn't matter anymore. I mean, all that had been fulfilled. All that had been, no more do we have to try to beat our way into God's presence. But God opened it wide open and says, here I am, available and waiting on you. Will you be part of my family? Because you can be now. Doesn't matter where you're born, you're part of my family. It didn't matter how you were raised, no matter, you are part now of my family. Is that the last verse? This is the last verse. And he came and he preached the glad tidings of peace to those who are afar off, and peace to those who are near. Man, Jesus made a way for us to be part of something so special. We are, that's why we sing songs like Blood Bought, Child of God, you know, Blood Bought, and the blood never loses power, and, you know, we use words like born again and child of God, because we are. We truly are in His family. When God, here's the great thing about God, church, He's impartial. We have favorites in our family. I mean, all of us have a favorite something. You know, maybe a favorite cousin. Maybe your kids have a favorite parent. I know you're not supposed to, but maybe you do. Maybe you got a child you lean a little more toward, a nephew or a grandparent that you kind of, you favor a little bit. Maybe not love more, but you favor more. But in God's kingdom, we're all equal. We truly are equal in the family of God. There is no big, what is it, the letter, big I's and little U's, whatever. We're one family. There's no ranks. There's no stripes on our sleeve. We are God's family. He loves each of us with that unfailing, unconditional love. Whether we're a minister of the gospel, whether we're an evangelist, whether we're a factory worker, whether we're a truck driver, whether we're, you know, whatever we do, each one of us have the same love of God for us. And each one of us are His prized possessions. We are His pride and joy, every one of us. Because we are fellow citizens with the saints, the Bible says, and of the household of God. Have I got more verses? I'm getting to that. That's what I thought. Yeah, I'm going to 19. I'm sorry. For it is through Him, it's through Jesus, that we both, talking about Jews and Gentiles, talking about heathen and those that aren't heathen, whether far off or near, we now have introduction or access by one Holy Spirit to the Father. One Holy Spirit, church. The same Holy Spirit draws all men unto repentance. There's not a different Holy Spirit. There's one Holy Spirit that draws men to repentance, to the Father, so that we are able to approach Him. And here's the last verse. I love this. Therefore, you are no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, aliens, excluded from the rights of citizens, but you now share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, consecrated, set apart for Himself, and you belong to God's own household. Isn't that good news? We are no longer aliens from God's kingdom, but we're now part of it, and we share in it, and we're part of God's household. We're part of His family unit, which means He'll take care of us. He provides for us. If you're in a family, you're in a household unit, there's provision made for you. There's provision made in God's unit. There's provision made in God's household. We are fellow brothers and sisters with each other, and we're heirs unto God because of what Jesus did. I'm part of His family. Each one that calls on His name become part of His family. That's why the Bible tells us in Psalms that, and I love this verse, that precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of His saints. That sounds kind of, I mean, why would it say that? Why is it precious in God's eyes when one of His saints dies? That's like a very negative thing, doesn't it? A sad moment. But it's not, because God knows what that saint's about to behold. God knows that what He's prepared for them is about to be realized. That's why He says it. Precious. Because, man, here's what they got now. They've left this to walk into this because they're a part of My family. See, if you're part of God's family, you're part of it forever. You don't get exiled back out. You don't get kicked back out. You don't get turned away when you have a spat with God or a bad moment or a bad season. I mean, there are families that, and maybe for some of them it's justified, but there are families that sometimes are out with each other because of issues, and there's no reconciliation there, and they're outside again. They were part of the family, now they're out. And hopefully there'll be a time they'll come back in the family. But when you're in God's family, I mean, it's like the mafia. You ain't getting out but one way. And that's laying like this. That's how it is in God's family. We are in His family forevermore. not to be exiled again. We're no longer strangers, church, but we're part of the citizenship of God, which means that I could say, James Lewis, where's your home? Where are you from? What's your hometown? A city built by God. That's my citizenship. My green card, so to speak, would say citizen of the kingdom of God. That's what it would say. Because I've been authorized to carry that card because Jesus authorized it for me at Calvary. He authorized it. And now I'm a legal citizen of God's kingdom. I wasn't born a Jew by nature, but I've been born again by that blood. And I have the same rights. I want you to think about this. Jewish law was very particular, and Jewish history is very sacred. To think that we are going to see the same face of God and serve the same God as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. These great men we read about, that Moses, that, my Lord, that changed the face of the world. The same man that God used to part the Red Sea, or the same man that was about to sacrifice his own child, and he was so faithful to God, God honored him with the seed coming from his loins for the rest of eternity. We're part of that same family. I can call him Uncle Abraham. Isn't that cool? Cousin Daniel. That's pretty neat. Wow. And they'll be no, how'd you get up here? You're not Jew. They'll know we're one. One family because of the blood. All you got to do to be a part of that family is to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and say, God, I want to be part of your family. And you'll become a citizenship of the kingdom of God forevermore. Nothing greater than that kind of family. Nothing greater. All right, thank you for your time tonight and your attention tonight. Y'all look motivated and stirred by the Holy Spirit. Whew, I feel the anointing in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. Yes, Grandma. I knew God check you on that. Thank you. I knew what you meant. I knew that. I didn't take it bad. But thank you. I appreciate that. You ever heard that expression? There's no big I's and little U's? There's no big I's and little U's. How many's heard that expression? Larry, you never heard that expression, Larry? Big I, little U? Have you heard that expression? David, you heard that expression? Well, you're from Kentucky. That explains a lot. But everybody's heard. Paul, you heard that, right? Tony, you heard that expression, right? I can't believe y'all ain't heard that. No big I's and little U's. That saying, it's kind of like motivational talk. Don, have you heard that expression? Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. It's not the letter I in you I'm talking about. Let me clarify. No big I's, no big Jameses and little grandmas. No big I's and little U's. Right, everybody the same. That's what I'm saying about God's kingdom. There's no big I's and little U's. Well, I'm glad I could help you instruct you with that. You left us some, yeah. Funny, Stacy. Funny. Oh, boy. It's the smartest tool. It's the sharpest tool. Or whatever. Anyway. Anybody else got anything to say in closing? Besides Grandma making things right, I appreciate that. Anybody else? Well, if you got something else to say, go ahead. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that too. Let's come pull a closeout song. We'll just sing, Melly, in closing. Just whatever. Just pull up something. Smart aleck. Let's pray over our offering, give you a chance to come give out tonight if you have an offering to give tonight. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that we are part of your family, that you have made that way for us to share in the inheritance you have waiting on us, and that it's on the way for us, God. It's signed and sealed and delivered, God, in your will. And when it's our time, God, that will be opened and we will receive all you have planned for us. Thank you for that great hope and that great promise. Well, Lord, I pray that you just bless this offering tonight for the seed that is given, that you use it for your glory, and just use it, continue to advance the kingdom of God as we sow seed into an eternal work. We give you praise, honor for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can come and give your anything.